Caitlin is listening on the Odyssey app and knows Travis Bajan pretty well, I believe, right?
Well, I don't know him, but they were sitting right behind us recording the Hard Knocks thing. So we were chatting with them through the whole first quarter. It was pretty fun.
You were at the game when they were doing that segment? That part of it?
Yeah. Yeah, when you're watching, I'm the blonde sitting right in front of him. And so they show us. But, yeah, they were chatting away. We weren't at the wrestling thing, but we were at the game. And the guy that was sitting next to him, he does some he has some WWE or some arm wrestling show on one of the TV stations. And he and my husband were chatting after the game about some stuff. And, yeah, they were very fun. And he came with them. I guess they're really good friends.
Right. That's the guy that he wrestled in the show, because he was the guy in the bar that was kind of leading everyone up. And then the two of them arm wrestled. And, I mean, see the size of those arms? I mean, those guys got like arms like a leg. That's pretty cool, Caitlin.
Caitlin, how loud were they during the game?
Oh, loud, loud. And he was chatting with people and high-fiving, and he's just so fun. But, yeah, he was pretty loud. At the start, he was a little, once the game got going, he was just a tad bit more reserved when he got on there, but talking through it all the time, you know, just kind of like how they showed. So, yeah, it was pretty fun.
That's super
one
cool.
Member. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Caitlin. Yeah. Appreciate that.
When
that's good stuff.
Tyson Bajan dove for the pylon.
Yes.
Scored that touchdown.
That's great.
And they had his dad react that way. Every dad watching could be like, yes, I would have done the same thing. That was a tremendous play. And you're like, they had that. That's what I think was really fun about being there, having that on camera. It's hilarious that she's calling in and listening, because we were just talking about that. Asked
yes.
and answered.
Yes.
The guy next to him was the same guy.
And it was his buddy. So there you go. Andy is on the road. He wants to talk Hard Knocks. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but this episode really resonated with me as a parent. You know, I think about watching my own kid playing baseball or soccer, and he's been a goalie before, and to see games decided by penalty kicks, and your heart is in your throat. And we're at the game also on Thursday. And my wife pointed it out. She saw the reeds. And so we went over and talked to him during halftime. And his dad's like, man, we're just really enjoying, you know, being a part of this ride. We hope it lasts. We're hoping for the practice squad. And, you know, he's going to play a lot of the second half and all this. And, you know, and obviously they're very much invested. And, you know, but no matter what happens, obviously the kid got cut. But he can always say he played for the Chicago Bears and threw a touchdown pass on the defending Super Bowl champions' home turf. So that was pretty cool. And then obviously seeing, you know, Ian Wheeler and his mother, I mean, it just ripped right. your heart out just right. watching that stuff. And by the way, I do want to say I love our general manager, Ryan Poles. He has done a fantastic job rebuilding this team, having the buzz around the Bears like I can't remember for years. And then to see him at the end with Ian Wheeler in his office and just, you know, the way he treated that young man, what a special guy he is. And I think this is going to be a very special season.
Thanks for the phone call. That's yep. a really good observation. I also thought that the moment, and it lingered, and it was long because it was a hug and it was emotional. But Ian Wheeler and his mother after the game, when they knew what they knew about his knee injury,
yeah.
that was powerful. It just was
no question
from a parent's standpoint, from yep. a fan standpoint, just from a human perspective to see that emotion captured in that way. Wow. That was a lot. And you wish him well. As you say, I mean, obviously you want to look at the positives. The positive would be, well, he's going to be able to rehab under the Bears' care. He's going to be, you know, paid as a guy on injured reserve, and he's going to get another opportunity to come back. Will he ever be the same? You don't know. You don't know. But I guess in his case, he does have other things in his life that he thinks are as important as football. He deferred medical school
yes.
to chase this NFL dream, and that's still alive, but he also has options if it doesn't work out. So it was just one of those moments that you're going to remember about this series, Hard Knocks, the way they handled the Bears, because that I don't know if there are any other moments in this four-episode arc so far that were any more powerful than that one.
Adam is on the road. Let's get to Adam. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, gentlemen. Love the show. Just two things. I'm going to be attending Caleb Williams' debut against Tennessee, and so I'm excited. So two things. One, what will success for the Bears and Caleb Williams look like in that first game? And two, what do the Bears plan to do different with this quarterback than the failures that they've had with previous quarterbacks? I'm just curious about those two points, guys. Thanks.
Adam, thanks for the phone call. Good questions.
Those are good questions.
I think you start with the fact that, unlike as we have discussed in the past, let's say go quarterback by quarterback, unlike with Jay Cutler, they have surrounded Caleb Williams immediately with weapons.
Right.
So he has an opportunity to use his skills and maximize his ability because he's got people to throw to that can actually get open and get deep and get behind secondaries. Jay Cutler didn't have that until he was way too late. And I think that's one area. The other part of it is he comes to the Bears more proven as a passer than Mitch Trubisky was, who lacked experience in college, and obviously they overdrafted him, than Justin Fields was as a passer, as a natural passer. So I think that is another thing to keep in mind. He's starting at a point where he seems more advanced in the passing game than those other two predecessors.
Listen, you know, there are so many. Jay Cutler is probably the last, like, really professional quarterback to line up for the Bears. Mm-hmm. Jay Cutler, he broke some of Sid Luckman's records, and Jay Cutler was a professional quarterback. He was also a guy that didn't protect the ball enough, got caught up in making plays and threw a lot of dumb picks. He did not have the team around him, and they had to change everything for him. I think this is a completely different situation. Number one, as you watch him in the various times you've seen him, whether it be on the field or in practice, on Hard Knocks, whatever, the guy can deliver an accurate pass. The guy can hit a player in time on time. He can, square his shoulders on the run and complete a pass going the other way. It's just, he has God-given ability. You don't have to start teaching him how to play the position or figuring out. I feel like there's a lot that is on this thing that we haven't really talked about. Like, Shane Waldron is a huge figure in this. Their issues on the offensive line are a deep concern when you talk about a starting quarterback, a rookie starting quarterback. But I think this kid has special to him. Now, the question he's asking is, how do they get that out of him when they couldn't get it out of other people? That's a legitimate question.
It is a legitimate question. And
a legitimate worry. No question.
No doubt about it. Here's the other thing to consider, I believe. With Jay Cutler, you go way back to that. I don't think he came into his problems are well documented. We just talked about it, the lack of weaponry. With Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields, the other thing to consider is that both of those guys, unfortunately for them, came into the organization and were given opportunities at a time where there was more instability than there is now.
Yeah.
You talk about Mitch starting as a rookie for John Fox and then having the transition to Matt Nagy. It benefited him, but it was temporary. You look at Justin Fields, thrust into the situation before he might have been ready, also mismanaged from the beginning because Matt Nagy's final season was something that really created abnormalities in the way that they would handle a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So Justin Fields, he suffered from that in his development. Mitch Trubisky suffered because of that, I think, in terms of the change in regimes and offensive coordinators.
But this guy is ahead of where either of those guys were. He comes in ahead of that.
Plus the stability, plus
the
infrastructure that I think is more solid than theirs was. He's more talented, and he's in a more stable situation.
Here's the thing. I got into a long conversation with my brother who was in town recently, and he wanted to know a lot of different things that I thought were really interesting. you know, the point would be this, you know, you like Ryan Poles? This is Ryan Poles. This is Ryan Poles' team. It's Ryan Poles' coach. Ryan Poles stayed with the guy despite the issues of last season where the defensive coordinator left under weird circumstance. The running backs coach had to be fired. Again, kind of the same problem. Then you get to the offseason and you got to replace your offensive coordinator and a lot of that staff, and you bring in a defensive coordinator. Yeah. I'm just saying, we're talking about the stability of the organization, and maybe it is now stable because the quarterback is coming in after they made these hires. But if Eberflus doesn't win this year, they need to win this year. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what coach is on the hottest seat or how you're going to do. But the fact is, you know, they passed on firing him and hiring someone like Jim Harbaugh, whoever is your guy, whatever offensive coach you're thinking about. But I'm just saying, so as much as it seems like everything is all happy and good and we're moving forward, there is also a scenario where if things go wrong, now you're going to have to restart the engine, and that is something you don't want to do.
It's pro sports. I mean, that is the reality that is present in almost every organization in the NFL, and both things can be true. Both things can be true that you have a situation right now that when you talk about the strength of the Bears and why Caleb Williams is positioned well to succeed, it is in large part because of the organizational stability that is a product of the continuity that Ryan Poles created. He didn't make a change at head coach, and we could argue and quibble about that, and we did at the time, and we were clamoring for Jim Harbaugh at the time.
Yep.
But once they committed to somebody, you can't halfway commit to anything and do it well. So right now, as we sit here on August 28th, the strength of the Bears, in large part, one of the strengths of this organization is its stability. That's what Caleb Williams is benefiting from. He's got a head coach who has learned on the job. The communication between the head coach and his players is improved. We see that whether it's on Hard Knocks or at the podium or on this radio station. Matt Eberflus is better at his job today than he was a year ago.
And they've swapped coordinators. They got rid of Getsy, who is a first-time coordinator. They brought in a guy that has done it before.
They professionalized the position.
So there's that. And you know, it's funny because we talked about the Eagles and how, you know, we were talking the other day about that, about how they improved their coordinators and now they're a better football team. Is that what the Bears have done as well? Have the Bears gotten better having an offensive coordinator that comes from that has done the job and understands what his system is and is working with the guy versus having somebody that hadn't done it before? I'm not picking on
anyone. I don't think there's any question about it. I think you always go back to what is your default reaction when you have a job opening. For me, I always think that not to discriminate against people who haven't done the job before, but I always value experience.
Sure.
Especially when you're dealing with an organization like the Bears that has been in free fall for too long.
They've been in free fall.
So you want to get people who have done the job before. When I say professionalize the position of offensive coordinator, I know it sounds like a slight to Luke Getsy.
Right.
Luke Getsy's a bright mind. He's going to be better at the job with the Raiders than he was with the Bears because why? He failed with the Bears.
Yes.
You always learn from your mistakes. And I think Shane Waldron is going to be better here than in Seattle. Not that he got fired or got dismissed or whatever, but the more you do the job, the better you're going to be moving forward. And this is what the Bears are going to benefit from, that experience that Caleb Williams is going to lean on, and he's going to be better because of it.
312-644-6767. Steve is on the road. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. So happy to be talking about football again. my question's this. Don't you think Flusie's kind of on the hot seat? I mean, if he goes 8-9 or 7-10, aren't we looking for a new guy at the end of the year?
Boy, I hope not. It's a really good question. I think that when we look at Matt Eberflus, we feel completely different about him than we did maybe at the beginning of the summer, even, right? That this has done good. you know, watching him trying to coach up Caleb Williams about how to kill the clock and going through that whole thing, that's a nice moment for him. Just trying to explain something to a young guy, even though it's not his area of expertise.
It's growth. He's shown some growth. I don't know that we can sit here and say before they've played a game that Matt Eberflus is on the hot seat. I think that he obviously is like any other head coach entering his third season. You want to get to the playoffs, but I don't feel like this is a playoffs or bust type of scenario for him as a head coach. Ross Tucker said it yesterday. I believe in this. There no 9-8 record is the same, and it's not always created equally.
Yes.
If you start 2-7 and you end up 9-8, that's great. The arrow's pointing up. If you start 7-2 and you end up 9-8,
if you start 0-4 and you wind up winning 7 games,
it's a very different scenario and an outlook, and you end up with the arrow pointing up. What you want to do in 2024, you've got to finish the season competitive and with the arrow pointing up. If you're not doing either, then let's have a conversation about what's best for the Bears moving forward. Right now, it seems conceivable that they're going to finish with a winning record and with the arrow pointing up.
Sean is in Romeoville. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I will agree that stability and having an organization that's that is committed to you succeeding is definitely going to benefit Caleb. I know Justin's gone, but I just get a little annoyed, guys, when I hear you say that, you know, coming out of college, you know, Caleb is the much better passer. If you look at, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but if you look at their records, I mean, Justin threw about 60 touchdowns in two seasons at Ohio State, and you don't throw that many touchdowns scrambling. The kid didn't even scramble a lot in college, so
right,
you know, I know
right.
he's gone.
That's fair.
But
no, it's a fair comment, but Sean, the difference is watching a guy in a 7-on-7 drill. The difference is just watching a guy come in and be a more accurate passer. I don't know what to tell you. He got a lot of touchdowns. He threw a good deep ball. They scored a lot. He was surrounded by great weaponry when he was at Ohio State. They had some top-notch players, and you see them all get drafted into the NFL. And they dominated other teams, and the guy had a great career. This is different.
It is different.
He's and different
with
than
due respect,
him.
Sean. I think that's a good point. You want to be, you know, show respect to Justin Fields and all he did at Ohio State. I don't want to relitigate that, but it is a fact that when Caleb Williams comes into the league, they're just the eye test is different, and you see the arm talent, which is different. Justin Fields probably suffered from the fact that he was protected so well at Ohio State that he had pockets that were safe and clean. And he didn't have to process things as quickly as he did as an NFL quarterback. There are lots of reasons that might explain why he wasn't the natural passer or why he didn't succeed as a passer. I don't know. He still can have a good career as an NFL quarterback. It won't be in Chicago because I think the Bears upgraded at the position. With due respect to Justin Fields, Caleb Williams enters the league as a more accomplished passer.
You know, Mike Tomlin's a great coach. And he runs a great system, and they won even with Trubisky when he left here. I think they can win with Fields now that he's left here. I just don't know that they're going to win in the playoffs, do much. I just think there are problems, and this team looks better than some of the teams that were kind of lined up around those other players.